Well, good morning, everyone. Please take your Bible. So let's turn to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. It is so good to see you here today. And I want to share with you something that happened to me on Friday that kind of just set me on edge. And if you'll bear with me for a few moments while I air my grievance, we'll be able to move past it. Late Friday afternoon, I had stopped by one more store just to pick up a small little gift for Melina. And as I was checking out, the clerk looked at me and said, "Oh, isn't that sweet? You're just getting started." I pulled back and I said, "Actually, no, this is just an extra. I'm just wanting to get one more last minute gift." And she said, uh-huh. Well, let me remind you that you need to give her the receipt so she can bring it back. And I thought to myself, there are three realities that I gather from this experience. Number one, this woman thinks that I am dragging my heels, that I've been procrastinating all season long, which is not the truth. I started yesterday. Secondly, that this woman thinks that my wife is ungrateful, which she's not. And thirdly, she guaranteed me to think that she is rude. And I left there with that experience thinking, my goodness, what was supposed to be just this little extra measure of just goodness for my wife turned out, leaving me with this sour taste in my mouth. And if you saw that this summer or this year, anything time this year, someone treating you unexpectedly when you thought it should be going the other direction, this message is for you. And if you're here this morning and you've been a little grumpy and a little bit edgy these last few weeks, this message is for you too. We're going to look this morning at the king's throne in Matthew chapter 25. And as we look at the passage this morning, I can't help but think that this message, which closes out this series on the king is coming, is something that is a great capstone. Not only is it the end of this series, but it's the end of our messages this year. Another year of serving Jesus here at Andrews Memorial Baptist Church. And I think about how different this year was from last year, but how similar this year is to last year. And I want you to know that each and every one of us have probably hit a breaking point 2, 3, 4 times, not just in the last year, not just in the last month, but perhaps in the last week. And if you've had this question, "Oh Lord, when is enough really enough?" We all have the same heart. We are all looking for that same outcome. We are ready for the end. And I don't mean that in a pessimistic outlook. I don't mean that in a negative sense, that we are looking forward to brighter times. We are looking for better days, and we are looking for our King to come. We are ready for the end. But I also do realize in this last 2 years what has been readily revealed is that so many people are not ready for the change. So many people have looked at the crises of every day and they've left with a bad taste in their mouth. They've left with anger and frustration, and they're just at a breaking point. And in some sense, they want change to come, but they're not ready for change to come. This is something that is described as crisis fatigue. And I'd like to use these last few weeks to explain to you what crisis fatigue is. Think back to the very beginning of November. Actually, I should say back to the middle of the summer. Oh, back to the 1st of July, when the store started putting their Christmas decorations out on the shelves. We started to get the first whiffs that Christmas was coming. Someone told me this week they were trying to go buy some holiday candy and they couldn't find any holiday candy because it was sold out. They couldn't find any candy, in fact, because people had went and purchased other candy because there was no holiday candy. And I remember having conversations with you all summer long, Brother Clifton. Brother Clifton would say, "You people better start shopping early, or they better start making their plans early, because it looks like it's going to be a tough year. Their inventories are going to be off, and we've been seeing this. And Brother Clifton was sharing me some forecasts that he saw and some trends that he saw, and he was right on target. Earlier in the season, the store shelves were just empty where people couldn't find the items that they were wanting. And maybe it is just that initial, when you go to the store in July, do you just pick up that first box of candy canes that you see? And anybody here, there was a candy cane shortage this year? The nation ran out of candy canes for shame. Peppermint, yeah, we're short of peppermint, yeah. And we have this onset excitement that comes. People just get really excited. Maybe everybody just goes crazy early on. When did you put your tree up? Did you decorate it earlier? And I realize I'm treading into dangerous ground when I talk about that. Not because some of you keep your tree up all year long, because you like it. Some of you don't take your tree down because it's just too much work. And I'm not getting into any of that this morning. But I did look at Melina yesterday and I said, can we take the tree down now? And short of those three ghosts that visited me last night, once that early onset of excitement has passed, it just seems to be that the days wane on and there's delayed relief. That it just seems to be that the circumstances don't necessarily come when we think they could. I was talking to Brother Jeff just a few moments ago. We were talking about how amazingly fast it seems to be that that everything came to a close yesterday, and how fast it came. And it used to be that we would talk about slowest Christmas is now rather an oxymoron, because it just seems that it just keeps churning faster and faster and faster, and it seems to be that the season is so short-lived. But what is true, what's true not just in this past season, but in this past year, and throughout our struggles, that as relief doesn't come, it tends to destroy our spirit, beat us down, leave us empty and worried, leaving us filled with a blooming anxiety, something that starts small and starts to grow. We're talking about this crisis fatigue, the early excitement about something changing, something new happening, whether it's good or bad, then the delayed relief leads to that blooming anxiety. Oh Lord, when is this ever going to end? And just when you think you couldn't have enough, there's a surprise twist thrown in there. And you think to yourself, I didn't see that coming, and I'm not ready, and I'm not prepared, and it looks like it's starting all over again, and the problems are just mounting, and it's so big because we didn't see this twist coming, because we were caught by the surprise. Not ready, not prepared. I know a long time ago there was a story told about the little chicken that went out and worked the garden and took care of the garden and prepared all season long, and nobody would go out and help the little chicken in the garden prepare. And then when it came time for the harvest, nobody wanted to help the little chicken prepare to gather up for the harvest, but everybody wanted to sit down at the table and eat, and the chicken said, nope, none for you. We all get caught by surprise. This morning was a struggle. Do I wear my suit or do I wear my Bermuda shorts to the service today? Because it seems to be unseasonably warm outside. It caught us all by surprise, and it just doesn't feel like it's supposed to feel in the middle of winter. And during this cycle, this crisis fatigue that we have, we're excited initially, and then you just keep living with the same reports, you live with the same news, and you live with the day-to-day struggle, and it starts to compound, and that anxiety blooms in us, and then there's that surprise twist, and because we're caught off guard by the surprise, and then something happens where there's a reset. It just starts all over again. And I told you I would like to correlate that crisis fatigue with these last few weeks. Just as a reminder, there's 364 more days till we start talking about the same cycle again. Actually, I hope you saw in there something bigger than just the story about how we anticipate our Christmas season, but the problems of the headlines, the news cycles that we find ourselves in, the struggles that we have day to day with our doctor reports, the crisis at play in the world, I'm not trying to minimize any of these problems, but I want you to know that I do see that each and every one of us are weary with fatigue about the endless supply of crises. And it's evident by how our countenance is affected, it's evident by what we talk about, and it's evidenced by what we don't talk about. So this morning, as we cap this series to a close, where we've been headed throughout the entire time, our point is this: the king sits on his throne as planned. Would you look with me at Matthew chapter 25 this morning? But before we do, let's go to the Lord and ask him to bless our time together in his word. Will you join me in prayer? Let us pray. Lord, we come to you at this time and we lift up your name. Oh, Lord, we've been praying for deliverance and we've been praying for relief, and we continue to pray for deliverance and continue to pray for relief. Lord, there are those among us right now who are hurting, who are sick. There are those right now who are away from us because we're at the hospital with loved ones. Lord, there are those among us this morning who are facing treatments and trials. Lord, there are those among us right now who have a fresh breath because it just seems to be that life has given just a small amount of relief. And Lord, we're grateful for that. But I pray that regardless of our station or wherever we find ourselves this morning, that we would not lose sight and we would not lose sight of the hope that's found in knowing that you are in charge. Lord, I pray that this morning our message, which will be the final message in this series and in this year, that it will inaugurate for us a renewed hope and a renewed vision of what you can do in us and through us as your people. Oh, Lord Jesus, we need you in this place. We need you in our life, and we need you in this moment. So please, Lord Jesus, come quickly. We celebrate that you indeed are on the way. We ask these things in your name. Amen. Look with me at Matthew chapter 25. This is Jesus speaking. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, say it with me, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he also say unto them on his left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say it unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. And on Jesus' sermon here, his Olivet Discourse, he's explaining to his disciples through a metaphor, of a king that separates his kingdom according to the sheep and unto the goats. And I realize that when he uses this language of sheep and goats, that it sounds confusing because we have some questions, Lord. Are you dealing with goats, sheep, bah, animals? Are you dealing with people? And it's rather clear who Jesus is talking about. But lest there be any confusion, we're going to take these next few moments and answer the questions that are here in the text as we look first at the king. And what we see in the promise of Jesus' words is that the king is coming. Long ago, the prophets foretold of the promised one who would come. Daniel and his prophecy in Daniel 7 verses 9 through 14 describes for us the majesty, the awe, and the terror of the king coming. In Daniel 7 verse 9, "And I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow. And the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands, thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. And judgment was set, and the books were opened. I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words of the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and time. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and the kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed." The king is coming. And in Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 25, we find that the king arrives just as was promised by prophets of old. And when the king comes, do you know what he does in Jesus' description here in Matthew chapter 25? He sits on his throne and he judges from his throne. Lest there be any confusion, the Son of Man, who are we talking about here? Who is Jesus talking about? Is he talking about a king who comes and divides his kingdom between sheep and goats? What kind of a kingdom is that? A king of animals? Jesus is revealing his coming, his judgment, and his throne from which he will judge. In John chapter 5, verses 22 through 24, Jesus shares with his followers, "For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Jesus speaks of his judgment. We don't always think about Jesus in that capacity. We think of him as the little baby that came. We think of him as a great teacher. We see him as the sacrifice. We see him as the Savior. But he reveals to us he is also the judge. And in his promise, in Matthew chapter 25, in his sermon, he explains that every nation will be judged. Look with me back at verse 32. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And you say, aha, there it is. We're not talking about a king who's got a kingdom of sheep and goats, but rather a king who's going to divide his kingdom according to the nations. And some nations he's going to call sheep, and some nations he's going to call goats. But we understand that the king is going to call into account every person who will stand before him. And while the gathering will take place, each and every person will stand judged for their actions. So we see the king divides the people of the nations into two groups, sheep and goats. So who are the sheep? In Matthew chapter 25, verse 34, he tells the answer. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Lest there be any confusion, the sheep are the ones who inherit the kingdom. The sheep are the ones who get to enter into the kingdom. The sheep are the ones who are there in the king's kingdom favorably. The kingdom is also prepared from the foundation of the world, the king reveals. Come, inherit the kingdom that was prepared from before the foundation of the world. And as we look to the king's proclamation to the sheep, that even in the darkest of times, the kingdom still advances as planned, as evidenced by the plan put in place, the foundation of the world. Which means that you and I can distill some great nuggets from this reality, that hope was not lost, that the king never lost control of his kingdom, because the plan was in place long, long, long ago. That even though sin rules and reigns in this world, the cross was not a plan B. God was not caught off guard. And the gift of his son was not a reaction of a surprised father. But we also see that because the kingdom was planned and prepared from the foundation of the world, the kingdom is going to arrive exactly on time. So don't lose hope. Hope is not lost. The cross is not a plan B, because the kingdom arrives on time. So now let's look at what the king saw. As we look at the difference between the sheep and the goats, and the king notes the behavior of the sheep, that he fed the ones who were hungry. When you saw someone who was thirsty, you gave him a drink. When you saw the stranger, you visited him. The naked, you gave him clothing. The sick and the ones in prison, you visited them. The king says, here is what I saw. This is what you did. When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. And when I was a stranger, you took me in. And when I was naked, you gave me clothing. And when I was sick, you visited me. And when I was in prison, you visited me. And the sheep said, wait a minute. We did that? What I find amazing in the sheep's response to the king is that they are recognized for all of these actions that they've done, all of this service that they've done, and they don't realize that they've done it. Because the king says, you did this unto me, and they were serving without an agenda. How do I know? Because they ask, when did we do all that for you? You say we did this for you, but when did we do this for you? The king shall answer unto them, we say in verse 40, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. And the sheep were busy serving, tending to the hungry and to the thirsty, to the stranger, to the naked, to the sick, and to the ones in prison. And the king recognizes that service as service unto him, even though the sheep were just taking care of people when they saw the need. They're serving with kindness. What a difference it makes. Taking care of people's needs. Ministering to people in their needs. And I see from these sheep, I do see three statements that we can take away from this reality of serving without agenda. That the sheep are being recognized for still continuing to believe in the needs of people. That people need help. People need care. People need love. People need Christ. And the sheep were busy meeting these needs at just the base level. But I also see in their expression when they ask the king, when did we do this? When did we do this for you? And I see each of the sheep standing together as they ask the king this question. They still believe in the power of we, what we can accomplish. Oh, they were all busy individually taking care of one another, but there was that collective power of all of them pulling their weight and all of them serving the king. And please do not lose sight of the power of we. For in this last couple of years, many people have lost sight of the power of we. Church doesn't matter. All hope is lost. And I want you to know, now more than ever, hope is not lost. We still matter. We still make a difference. Brother Jeff, could you advance the next slide? And we still believe in the worthy King. We believe in the worthy King, the one who is worthy to serve. We don't do it because we're trying to gather rewards. We're not doing it because we want that special recognition. We do it because He alone is worthy to be praised and worthy to serve. And we see what the people who are looking for the King to come, who are busy serving because the King is the one who is worthy to be served. They're doing it without agenda. So we see the sheep. The sheep are the ones who still believe that the king is worthy, and therefore the king says, come inherit the kingdom. They are the ones who get to enter the kingdom because they have the king's heart. It's not that they've earned their way in, but because they possess a love for what the king loves, because they have a faith in the king, that they serve the king selflessly, and they enter into the kingdom as evidence that they have the king's heart, not that they get the king's heart. Service. Not trying to work your way in, but serving because of the king's love. And the difference that the king has brought into your life. We see the sheep. Now let's look at who are the goats. Matthew chapter 25, verse 41. Then shall he also say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. The goats are cast from the kingdom. Because we see the goats do not have the Father's heart. How do we know that? They do not see the need of the people. Same observation that the king makes, except for it's exactly opposite. When you saw the need, you didn't act. When you saw the need, you didn't take care of the one who was in need. It's because they weren't looking for the opportunity to serve the king. They seemed to be more consumed with themselves, distracted by the need all around them, worried about the right here and right now, worried about themselves more than others. And it's revealed through their lack of care and their lack of attention that they do not serve the king. So when the king calls them on the carpet, they cry out with the spirit of, Lord, it's not fair. And their statement can be boiled down to this: if we knew that you were watching, we would have behaved differently. If we knew that you were keeping track of the times that we did not feed the hungry or take care of the thirsty or give clothing to the naked or take in the stranger, go visit the sick or go see the one in prison, we would have acted differently if we thought that you were watching. Find that so indicative of the spirit today. So many people consumed with what other people see us doing rather than what God calls us to do. And as we look ahead into 2022, we see ahead of us one of two possibilities: more of the same, misery, anguish, and hopelessness, or another opportunity to serve the king. And in Matthew chapter 25, verse 46, and these, the goats, shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. And I stand here this morning at the close of our message to remind you that the king is coming. Here's our response. These last few moments, we have been looking at the reality that the king sits on his throne as planned. We've known for a long time. As a matter of fact, before this all started, the king already had a plan. And the plan will come to pass in the king's perfect time. And if you and I are waiting for that opportunity to get busy, just like that sales clerk that told me, oh, it's good that you're just getting around to getting started. Isn't this nice? You're just getting started. I was angry with her because it wasn't true. I'd started long ago. And the king sits on his throne as planned, calls us one and all to renew our faith. If our faith has fallen or waned in this past year, we've got yet another opportunity ahead of us in this moment to say, King Jesus, you are worthy. Lord, I'm not going to let the circumstances that seem to be raging all around me shake my faith or pull me away or overwhelm me with discouragement, because you are worthy. This morning, if you find yourself in that place of loneliness, sadness, disillusionment, please know you're in a perfect place to find your faith renewed by taking your eye off of the circumstance and putting it on the Savior. If you're here this morning and you say, wait a minute, I've got my focus fixed like a laser on my Savior, then what I say to you is the same message for one and all as we head into this new year. May you and I keep our eye focused on the Savior and do the work that seems so simple and seems so apparent to so few, but surely should be the heartbeat of so many. We serve the King because we have the King's heart and we care about what the King has, as evidenced by how we serve. Not because we are wanting special recognition or special accolades, but because there's a need that can be met and that you and I can meet that need. Because we do matter and we stand together and we together can make a difference and we are not irrelevant. So may we take another opportunity to serve the King. If it's hard to find the opportunity, well, look a little harder. It's amazing how many opportunities just present themselves to us each and every day. We find here that the King is recognizing that how the sheep took care of his brethren. You say, wait a minute, I right now I just don't even know where to start from. We'll start looking about the people that's sitting next to you. You can start making a difference inside the church doors, about making a difference in connection with the people that we call family here inside our church. But you know that the need is so much greater than just inside these doors and outside the doors. There is another opportunity for us to serve our King Jesus, because the King is coming. But the last point, the last one is perhaps the biggest obstacle, and that is to start now. Don't be caught off guard. Had the goats known that the King was looking, they would have gotten busy. They would have done everything that they needed to do right before the King arrived to make sure that everything was in order, but the sheep were the one who had been serving all along. And if you're not where you need to be, I say to you from Scriptures, there's hope. His name is Jesus. Give him your life now. Serve him now. As we close in prayer, may this be our prayer. Lord, deliver me from this crisis through a fresh focus on serving you. I hope this morning's message has spoken to you about that problem that's been bubbling under the radar, whether we realize it or not, that each and every one of us suffer from crisis fatigue. We just quite simply can't take any more. But should the King tarry his coming, which I believe he could come at any moment, he could come before the service even ends, may we not let the crisis overwhelm us. And I don't discount the size of crises. I don't discredit the size of all the problems in the world. And you and I may not be able to do everything about all of the problems in the world, but we can do something about the ones around us who stand in need. And this morning's message is a call us back to focus as the people that God has called us to be, serving the King as he has planned from the foundation of the world.